I'm just going to say, before the kids leave, or even actually it's more before the adults leave too, although Luke is just before you leave, just want to say this one thing, and this is serious. I know that we provide childcare, and so I know like every week one of our groups of adults, or at least two adults, are gone. I would really encourage.
You may continue.
Thank you. I would really encourage the adults who leave would listen to the sermon after. It just is coming to my head right now. Like, it's because I know that today and many days, the words that God gives isn't just like, hey, you know, just take it, leave it. You know, good stuff for the Lord, good stuff that God is saying, and just, you know, hope that encourages you and go. It's more than that. I really believe it's prophetic. And like often when we're worshiping and God clarifies some of the things that he has talked to me about that week, and then he moves even more on it, and then or he switches things completely. Sometimes I say to Carlene, I think I'm speaking on this, but I'm not sure. And then God moves in our midst as we're worshiping together, and like really prophetic for where we are in our lives. And I really don't want anyone to miss any of that. It's not about listening to me. It's not because I have something great to say. It's really like there is this place that I really believe that God is giving some prophetic words as well that will launch us forward and that are needed right now. And so that was just coming to me. And yeah, so there you go. So I encourage you to listen. But this wasn't just for Luke and Rachel, just in case you're thinking, is it because we're going today? No, it's many weeks, and there's some stuff where it's like, man, this is really like God is speaking to where we are right now, and this is important for all of us. And so, and this is where even if we're away for a week and that, again, not that it's about listening to me, but if we're away, really try and maybe listen online on the website. Because I really know that, yeah, these words are more than just, hope you like that, have a good week, see you next week. I think they're really prophetic for where we are, and God is leading us forward in the battle. So, blessings. Get some low tens from the kids. So last week we had this diagram up again for those of you who were here, the temple or the tabernacle, and we talked about how beachheads can be made by the enemy in the area of the soul. When Candace was praying there and against the enemy, absolutely. We talked about those beachheads where the enemy comes in and tries to wreak havoc. Or sometimes from the outside, the enemy doesn't necessarily have a beachhead in us or a place of residence or a topos, a foothold, like it says in Ephesians. But maybe also he is bombarding us from the outside and trying to get in. And obviously the enemy is always trying to get in. We talked about how I truly believe the enemy is out there, if you will, right now, and just looking for open doors, open windows to try and wreak havoc in our lives. Absolutely. As we were worshiping before, or actually it was when we were praying, so it was during the sharing time in that, man, I got this picture of a demonic presence. I don't get that very often. And so that was a little bit weird for me. Just a shadowy kind of thing, not detailed or anything. But I just, it was this place of, no, you're going to be quiet, you know. I don't know why you're here or why you're allowed here, but you're going to be quiet. So be quiet, and you know. And then I just asked in prayer that two angels would come and surround it on either side and basically like, you know, looking at it, you're staying quiet while you're here. You're staying quiet. If you're going to be here, you're going to be quiet. Definitely the enemy wants to come in and wreak havoc. But then there's also this place of, you know, some of the stuff that we deal with in our lives, some of the stuff that I deal with in my life, quite frankly, has nothing to do with the enemy. The I can't blame the enemy. Yes, the enemy takes advantage of the opportunities, maybe, but it's on me. It's my stuff. It's my flesh. And I was thinking about the whole temple and tabernacle. And as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, Spirit-filled believers, and all believers are Spirit-filled in the sense that we all have the fullness of the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in our spirits. So that's what I mean by that. All of us should seek to be ruled, if you will, or to be guided, to live our lives according to what is happening in the Holy of Holies. Talked about how that is where the Spirit of God resides, between the cherubim, if you will, and over the Ark of the overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, but now we are the temple. So in our spirit, and everything should be lived according to what's happening in the spirit. And we seek, like last week we talked about how the veil was torn away, and we seek actually what's happening in the Holy of Holies to now be a part of the holy place. We don't want two rooms anymore. We want one room. Just one room where it's like that we talked about last week about the kitchen and the dining room. There's no longer a wall in between the two. It's just one big room, okay? And we want what's happening in the Holy of Holies to flood us. We're reading this book, The Spiritual Authority. I mentioned it last week, and oh my goodness, I'm going to be teaching on some of this stuff. And it's really exciting and really, yay! Okay, God, thank you for teaching this and showing me some things. He talks about, and I agree, we want the Holy Spirit to flood us. It's like the rivers in John, it talks about rivers of living water will flow from within you. And at one point in John, I've mentioned this before, where it talks about from the womb. It talks about, some translations are from your belly, but the word there can be stomach, can be womb. And womb makes more sense in the prophetic sense because it's the place of birth. It's the place of new life. And where that those rivers of living water would flow from his throne. And again, you think about, my mind's kind of going all over the place a little bit, but you think about end times and when Christ establishes his throne again in the New Jerusalem, and it talks about how water will flow from his throne. Okay, and water will flow from the Temple Mount actually out towards, and I don't know if that's the actual Temple Mount or the City of David, we've talked about that too, is the old temple, but it will flow to the Dead Sea and make the Dead Sea alive again. And you have these living waters right from the source, because he is the source. I was reading about how the Israelites in the desert were accompanied by God and how they were fed by God, and they got water from the rock, okay? And then it says in the New Testament, if you can accept it, it says this. Okay, well, even if you can't accept it, it says this. But, you know, it says that Jesus Christ was that rock. Now, we're not talking in this New Age kind of way where Jesus was a rock, Jesus is a tree, Jesus is a bird, he's a cloud, he's everything, you know. No. But this, the accompanying provision is Jesus. And Moses at one time struck the rock, okay, and water flowed out. The second time he was supposed to speak to the rock, and in this book actually, the author mentions perhaps God wanted him to speak to the rock because the staff was almost becoming like an icon to the Israelites. They were looking more to the staff than to God. And so it's like, okay, just put the staff aside for a second and just speak to the rock now to show them that it's not about the staff. It's about my word. It's about me. And he was supposed to speak to it. He didn't. He struck it again. And God was gracious and water flowed. But you have this living water feeding millions of people in the desert. He is still the same today. Okay, living water flows from his throne. And his throne is in our spirit. It's in our spirit. And that's where all of our life should come from. So this question should be constantly accompanying us. Am I walking in the spirit? Is what's happening right now walking in the spirit? Is my response in the spirit? Is my response according to what God. So what Lily shared before, you know, opening the door. Ah, I knew you'd forget, right? It's this place of, was that of the Spirit of God? Did that flow from his throne into my soul and out my mouth? Before, I had to go to John and apologize because, you know, he played, you know, and I thought it was a little loud. And the controlling nature in me starts rearing its ugly head a little bit. And many of you didn't see it probably even. Some of you maybe did. But automatically, like when I did that, and then just conviction in my heart. And it's like, that didn't flow from God's throne. You know where that came from? It came from out here, my flesh. Or that came from my maybe a beachhead that the enemy has in my life, and I don't know what responsibility the enemy has or what amount of control he has in that. But you know what? On all this stuff, whether he has a beachhead or not, it's my stuff. It's my responsibility. And so I realized, man, that didn't flow from God's throne. And I don't want to stifle John's worship. I don't want to stifle how he leads in worship and how God uses him among us. And I don't want to stifle anything. And so I walk over to John and say, God, like, John, forgive me. So that wasn't right. That wasn't good. And as I look at it through these eyes and through this diagram and just the way God worked, it didn't flow from his throne. Now, sometimes when correction is needed, you know, sometimes maybe someone is going crazy. Maybe Kelsey goes crazy on the piano solo and it's all look at me because I know Kelsey loves drawing attention to herself. Just kidding.
It's Emily.
Yeah, or Emily on the ukulele solo. You know, and say something like that does happen and there needs to be a correction. Not all correction is from the flesh. Some of the correction truly is where the Holy Spirit says, you need to take care of this. Here it is. I'm flowing through you right now. Not in a nice, comfortable way. Everyone gives hugs and high fives and it's all everyone is touchy-feely and good feelings and all that. No, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is correction. Sometimes. And to be able to tell the difference, where is this flowing from right now? Is this flowing from God's throne? And it's a constant, I want to become more and more aware of that. Not in a walking on eggshells kind of way, not in a navel-gazing kind of way where you're stifled, but just, where did that come from? I know that I've shared this before where Randy sometimes has shared with people, like as he's talking, and someone is just basically manifesting on him or saying things like that shouldn't be said. And I don't, he has shared some things where people who know him and know his heart and have walked with the ministry for many years, all of a sudden will be like, you know, like Bilbo in Lord of the Rings. And Randy will sometimes, I don't know if he has ever literally said this to a person or if he's just thinking it, but in the name of Jesus, what spirit is speaking to me right now? In the name of Jesus, like, who's talking to me right now? Because I know it isn't God, and I know it isn't my friend. I know it isn't the one who loves. Someone else is talking right now. And it's true sometimes, because it's like, you know it's not flowing from the throne of God, and you know it's not even necessarily the person's own heart. It's coming from maybe a topos, or maybe it is coming from the person's flesh, from their own stuff, from their own way of doing things, their own fleshly desires. So to know where something is coming from is really key, really helpful, really important. And our goal is to be people who walk by the Spirit of God, where we know that it's flowing from his throne into our soul, and his Spirit is flooding our soul, just pouring over everything in us and then out to the world, out our mouths, out of our actions, out of our hands, out of our feet, and where it's just flowing. That's meant to be the flow. So it's more and more this place of, Lord, flood me. Pour over me. Release the Spirit. Release the Spirit of God from the holy place. Release him into the rest of my life. And really, from this book that I was reading, and I would agree with the way he said this, and I've often taken this view, like, in the past, kind of just let it aside for a little while, but as he said it again, it's like, yeah, I agree. When we talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what we are talking about. Okay, all Christians have the Holy Spirit living in the Holy of Holies. If I might say, that's almost the definition of being a Christian, or that is the evidence of being a Christian, is that the Holy Spirit now resides in you. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not of God. Okay? But it's this place of the Lord residing in our spirit, but the baptism of the Spirit is then the Spirit of God being released from the Holy of Holies into the holy place. Into our soul. Into our mind, our will, and our emotions. And his character floods us. His power floods us. Our gifts are just ignited and come alive. Just this stream of living water just pours through everything we do and just floods us. And what he said is that the way he would say it is the baptism, if you want to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the first time infilling. It's the first time that whoosh of flood happens. But then there are many fillings afterwards. And if you look through Acts, there are examples of people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay, they had received the Holy Spirit the very first day Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But then later on in Acts, it talks about them praying again, and they were all filled with the Spirit. And it's like, they had the Spirit already, didn't they? Yes. B, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit already, weren't they? Yes. And yet when they pray for a new venture or a new season or something, it talks about them being filled with the Spirit again, and it's this fresh flooding of the Holy Spirit. So for those of us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can continue to pray, "Lord, keep flooding me. Keep those floodgates open, flooding my soul, fill me with the Holy Spirit." And it's not anti-Christian, it's not, and if someone is saying it in a way of, "I don't have the Holy Spirit, please give me the Holy Spirit," yeah, that needs to be corrected, because that's incorrect. But if it's this place of just keep pouring over me and flooding me, fill me, renew me, release the Spirit into the rest of my heart and the rest of my life. May that holy place just be saturated with you. Now that's good and that's right. Because we want to be controlled by the Spirit in that way. We want to be influenced by God in that way. The whole meaning of grace, the divine influence upon the heart, is the way Strong's Concordance puts it. Just keep on flooding my heart with your Spirit. Keep on influencing me. And as I began to think about the soul, what we're asking, really, is flood my mind. Okay, because the soul is mind, will, and emotions, right? Flood my mind. Flood my thoughts so that I only have thoughts that come from your Spirit. So that I think like you think. You know, we have the mind of Christ, it says in Corinthians, right? Flood my thoughts where I think like you do. I have wisdom. Lord, flood my thoughts so that I'm filled with wisdom. Wisdom to know what to say and when to say it, how to say it. Flood my thoughts. Give me wisdom. Flood my mind so that I have discernment, so that my mind can process what's going on right now. You know, so the discernment happens in the Spirit, but yeah, flood my mind as well so that my mind can join in. You know, my mind wants to participate in that discernment. So I'm praying up here and we're praying together, and all of a sudden, yeah, I sense a demonic presence. It's like, well, I want my mind to engage as well, not just my spirit. I don't want to just discern that there's a demonic spirit. I want to, Lord, what do I do with this? And I, all of a sudden, then the Lord speaks to my spirit, and my mind processes it, and it's like, this is what you're supposed to do. And so under my breath, as we're praying and as we're going about, it's that place of, you're going to be quiet here. You're going to be quiet while you're here. I don't know why you're here. I don't know how you got here, but you're going to be quiet. And Lord, I pray that you would send angels to surround that demonic presence. Just keep him quiet. So my mind engaged. My mind was processing. You know, flood my mind with discernment. Flood my mind with wisdom. Flood my mind with insight. To know what to say. Oh, someone's going through something. I'm going through something. You know, me, someone else, it doesn't matter. Give me insight into what to say, what to do. I guess that's along with wisdom. But give me insight. Fill my words with teaching. Even if you're not a teacher, we're all called to teach from time to time. To be able to explain to someone who has a question. We're all supposed to be ready to give an answer. Any of us who have children, you're automatically teachers. If you have children, you're teachers. Automatically. You have to teach. And you might not be the most eloquent or whatever, that's okay. But ask God to flood your mind with the ability to teach, the ability to explain, so that your explanations wouldn't be born out of soul. And it definitely, we don't want it born from out here, our flesh, the way our flesh deals with the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world does things. We want to be flooded here from the Spirit into our soul. We want him to flood our emotions. Sometimes we've bought into the lie that our emotions are absolutely uncontrollable. They're like a wild stallion that just, you know, you can't do anything about that. It's just, you know, yeah, the dog chews the carpet. The dog chews the cat just scratches everything everywhere. We were talking to Kelsey about his cat recently, you know, and you can't do anything about it. That's just the way it is. Or even this, I think you and I were talking about it, when we got together there, about even this lie that we believe about, especially little boys. I wrote a chapter that eventually may, who knows, probably not become a novel. But I just got creative one day and decided to write. And the one phrase that I use in there that we've heard mentioned in the world many times is, boys will be boys. Boys will be boys. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Boys will be boys. You can't do anything about it. Boys will just be boys. They'll be cruel, or they'll be this, or they'll be that. Boys will just be boys. And it's in the novel I say, that's just used by people who don't have the boldness or the courage to do something about it. To step up and teach them to be men. You know? This lie of boys will be boys. Can't do anything about it. You know what? Yeah, you can. Don't believe the lie. We believe the same thing about our emotions sometimes. Well, I just can't do anything about it. That's the way it is. That's the way my emotions are. That's the way I am. I get upset, or I get insecure, or I get this. I get impatient. Just can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. Lord, flood my emotions so that my emotions are in line with your Spirit. So that my emotions are in line with what takes place in heaven, with your character in your heart. Flood them, Lord God. I pray for joy. I pray for peace. I pray for patience. I pray for kindness. I pray for stillness. I love David taking control in the Psalms and saying, be still, my soul. Basically looking at the soul and saying, you're not behaving right now. Be still. Be quiet. That's enough. Stop it. You know, sometimes we have to treat our emotions like a cat who, cats don't listen very much. I don't know what to do about that. But like a dog, dogs listen, you know, or something, and train up the dog. Or like a child. We have to treat our emotions like a child. And it's this place of, no, you're not going to act like that. Stop it. And it's this place of, is what I'm feeling right now flowing from God's throne? Is this the river of living water that is flowing through me right now? Is this the fruit of the Spirit? And if it's not, it's like, okay, what is feeding this right now? What source? And what I have found is often it's a reverse flow. And if you think of a reverse flow, you think of our plumber friend over there. You've had to deal with many reverse flows sometimes.
Yep.
It's an ugly thing.
It's a messy thing.
It's a messy thing. When stuff that should be flowing that way starts flowing this way. And usually it happens in the basement, and it comes up the drain, and it provides a nice foul smell. It's just nastiness. And what I think sometimes happens in us is we get this reverse flow. See, the way things are supposed to flow is starting in the spirit, and this water that comes from the spirit, it is pure. It is crystal clear. It is clean. It is refreshing. And it's supposed to flood us this way. And any junk that it picks up along the way, it flushes out. It just takes it out. And sometimes it's bit by bit. Just like a river sometimes takes a while to get rid of all the deposits and everything that's in it. You know, all the silt and the dirt and junk. You know, it takes a little bit maybe. But after a while, the whole river becomes pure, becomes crystal clear, where you can just drink the water. Imagine there's still some rivers like that, some streams like that in Canada, northern Ontario and that, where you can just dip your hand down and drink the water. So pure. That's what we're looking for. But when there's a reverse flow, all the stuff from the flesh starts to come into our soul. And it goes that way. And we can tell by the smell it produces. We can tell by the fruit it produces. And the goal, when the enemy is involved at least, the goal is for it to invade the spirit eventually. And push the spirit of God out. Push the spirit of God out. Now, that's not an easy thing. I'm talking about losing our salvation. Not an easy thing. Again, it's not like losing keys or something. But that's the goal of the enemy, to bring as much death and stench as possible in the hopes of even possibly driving the Spirit of God out. And the enemy can't drive the Spirit of God out, but causing us to drive the Spirit of God out, saying, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, Lord. I deny you. You don't exist, this and that. And we push the Spirit of God out. That's the goal. But it's this reverse flow, and we can see it through the fruit that it produces in us. And so it's this place of, again, where is this coming from? Whatever this is. Yep?
I'm just thinking, just to carry a little bit of the analogy again, as far as plumbing, what you would do there is put a check valve. And it's the same as our spirit. You put a check in your spirit.
Yeah.
Is this right? Is this good? To prevent that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and right here is a big check valve too. Does it agree with the Spirit of God? Does it agree with the Word of God? You know, and what Morgan was mentioning before as we were sharing, getting together more, gathering together, and what Candace was mentioning about being vulnerable with each other. We can be each other's check valve as well. There can be a number of different systems in place, if you will, that will help us with that. It's like, really, I'm starting to think a little bit. Something's a little smelly. Something's a little bit wrong. The Spirit of God in us, first and foremost, to bring conviction. A little check in our spirit. That's wrong. So that's why what happened with me and John there, and just like, there's just this, I don't see what I just did producing life. And I definitely don't get an amen. I didn't get a thumbs up from Jesus at that point, you know, like, yeah, that's good, that needed to be done. It's like, no, that was a little bit of acid reflux back up. Oh, that doesn't taste good. That's not right. It's like, I got to make this right. And that's the way you do it. You just start, you unclog a little bit and you pour pure water down and just get that flow going nice again. God, forgive me. And now, because I wronged John, I need to go ask John to forgive me. And even though he said, No, it was sin. It was wrong. I'm sorry. So I want that pure flow. So whether it's in my mind or my emotions or my will, what I choose to do. See, I want my will to be flooded with what's in the Holy of Holies. What I choose to do, what I choose to say, what I choose to allow to come out into the outer courts, which is the physical realm. I want it to all flow from the Holy of Holies. It's like release the Holy Spirit into my soul and then even out to the world through my actions, through what I choose to do, through my goals in life, through my choices in life, through my perspective, all of it. I want to see as you see. I want to do as you do. I just want to be flooded with God. And so, again, those of us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we pray for that just over and over again. Just keep flooding my soul, Lord God. Keep flooding me. Keep releasing your Spirit over my emotions. Keep releasing your Spirit over my choices. Keep releasing your Spirit over my perspective. Keep releasing your Spirit over my mind and the way I think. Keep releasing your Spirit. Teach me to walk in your ways, O Lord. I want to walk according to your Spirit. Those of us who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, I would encourage that prayer of release. Because according to Luke, it's as simple as just asking. Don't need to go through huge ceremony or anything. And that. Now, if we feel that, like if as praying and as asking, if we hear God saying, I want someone to lay hands on you or someone to pray this or pray this before, okay, we walk that through and we walk that out. But it's this place of, no, I know, like, again, if you haven't been baptized in Spirit, I know that the power of God, and that's one of the main things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, is the power of God on all these things. I know that the power of God hasn't been released in me in that way yet. And so I just long for that. And you know what? If you have been and you don't think you have been, but like, don't worry, God doesn't get caught up in all the... He is not... He is a detailed person in one respect, but he is not this red tape... Oh, you didn't dot your I here. And that 9, it looks like a G, so I'm not sure if I can pass this. He's not like our court systems. He's not like our police system and all that. He looks at the heart. And so just to ask God to release his Spirit. Release him in you. And that way then, the beachheads that we're talking of, the enemy last week, that we were talking about, you know what, as the flood goes out, it just starts hitting those beachheads as well. It starts hitting the enemy camp and just starts pushing them out. Just starts pushing. And again, it might take a long time because the enemy is relentless, but we just start pushing them out. But may we become people who refuse to accept the backflow, refuse to accept things in our lives or in our children's lives, and that's sometimes the hardest, right? Or even me, like I'm sometimes wondering, I see this, should I speak to it, Lord? Is it time? And like is it time to say something? Is it not? Because I see it's not from the Spirit of God down. I see we're sometimes accepting things that are actually getting in the way and hindering, but God will give us wisdom. So whether it's with our children or with each other, as we're vulnerable with each other, yeah, there will be this vulnerability and there will be this openness and communion, but sometimes the Lord will be like, no, I don't want you to say anything. Even though you're a vulnerable community and you love each other, I don't want you to say anything right now. But this constant, especially in areas that we are responsible for, okay, so first and foremost, our own lives, our children, different things. Where is that coming from? Whatever that is. And then, Lord, give me wisdom to see the proper flow of things, to see how it should flow, to see that come about in our lives. Lord, release your Spirit. Release your Spirit. Release your Spirit. Fill me. You know, we sang the song, fill us with courage. Courage should be a part of our lives. Absolutely. And all timidity and fear should be washed away by the Spirit of God. You know, and it will be just courage You know, and then the cool thing is, I'm just getting this picture of, as this river flows, you know, all the riches of God will also flow. So I just see a river carrying little bits of gold, little diamonds, little jewels. And as the river flows, those jewels and those diamonds, those bits of gold are deposited. They just, you know, deposit into our soul. And they just remain there. So they wash away all the gunk and all the junk. The Spirit of God, the flow of God, it washes that all away. And what remains is all these bits of gold and jewels and precious stones. And they just start getting deposited in our lives. So Lord, release your Spirit more and more. And as we see that we're not walking in the Spirit, Lord, forgive me. I want to walk in the Spirit more. And then we take action as far as we can when we see that we're not walking in the Spirit. We ask for forgiveness, and we ask again for the river to flow. We ask for him to just continue to do his work in us. And we almost this cheering on, yes, God, you know, you're doing it. I see you doing it. I love it. I ask for it more and more. Are there any questions or comments on this? I long for all of us to walk in the Spirit more and more. Where whatever it is we're looking at, whether it's our worship together, or whether it's our preaching and teaching, whether it's our sharing, even like, you know, like with the kids, where we look over and we see that, yeah, that's God right there. That's God moving. As we pray for Ian, as he's sick, may the prayers be from the throne of God. And I just pray that whatever God has planned there, if it's healing, then healing. If it's taking him home, then take him home. But whatever it is, that it originates in the Holy of Holies. That it flows from his throne. How we commune with each other. You know, talking about this fellowship, and Lord's calling us more to fellowship. And as Morgan shared that, it's like, man, that's coming right from the Holy of Holies. That it definitely isn't coming from Morgan's flesh. The flesh is like, no, right? You know, but it born in the Spirit. But now, okay, Lord, may this message from your Spirit, may this word from your Spirit, may this particular flow from your Spirit flood our soul and then flood our actions as well. Questions, comments? Let it settle in you. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that you'd release your Spirit more and more. And Lord, show us where we're blocking. Show us where we still have the veil up, like a dam, just blocking your Spirit. Lord, flood our minds. Flood our emotions. Flood our wills. Pour over us again and again and again. Pour over our children again and again and again. That they would learn to walk in the Spirit right from young. Oh, I long to see us all from youngest to the oldest walking in the Spirit. Just having you pour through us and then out onto a hurting world, Lord God. Onto each other first, yes, and then out onto others. Thank you that this is your will for us. Fill us again and again and again. Pour through us, Lord. Pour through us. pour into us. Thank you that this is your will. I know it's your will. Pray this in Jesus' name, and it's because of Jesus that this is even possible. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. We love you in your name. Amen. Amen. Good.